I'm Logan.
And I'm Ryan.
This is Automatic for the People. It's automatic, it's automatic, it's automatic. Hey everybody, welcome back to Automatic for the People, a preacher podcast for probably the last time this year. So, I don't know what we're doing. Well, actually, we do know what we're doing next, but it's probably only going to be one episode, maybe two. So, but we'll save that for a little bit later. But yeah, we're going to talk about the season finale of Preacher. And, I don't know. I was looking to see if there was any news to talk about at all before we jumped into it. Like Mr. Robot news or anything like that.
I mean, there was a thrown out there that it could go on longer than one more season.
Yeah, I think we talked about that last week.
Yeah, that's...
That Rami Malek kind of said something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I will say this. Mr. Robot might go to season 5. I don't think Preacher is going to make it to season 5.
Yeah, I don't know the storyline, so I don't know what the end game is. Although the God's Plan thing seems to, I hit that one kind of on the head.
Yeah, I mean, you pretty much.
Because he told Tula, tell him to stop looking for me because he's messing with my plan.
I mean, I guess we can just jump right into it. I hate to not use the freaking Preacher music for the season finale, but I mean,
why wouldn't you?
Because like usually like we build up like talking about other stuff and you know.
Well, I mean, the Saint of Killers is going to be in Lucifer. That's something.
Yeah.
Well, the guy that plays him, I don't know that he's playing the Saint of Killers in Lucifer.
I seriously doubt that.
Which I didn't know there was a Saint of Killers in Lucifer, but seeing as how it's all kind of part of the same... In Lucifer DC?
Yeah, and actually Lucifer technically is Vertigo. So...
And so is Preacher, right?
Yeah. So... So, yeah, I mean... But Preacher... Lucifer in the comics, because he's part of the Sandman universe, technically exists within the regular DC universe. Preacher is its own thing. Like, it doesn't reference any of the other stuff. You know, it's not really part of the DCU at all. So, you know.
Well, Lucifer the show isn't really part of any DC.
No, yeah, I mean, and you're right about that, so...
Yeah. I mean, a collaboration isn't, like, completely not going to happen, even though it probably won't, but...
Oh, we didn't talk about this last weekend. I know we kind of only sporadically talk about the Marvel stuff, but did you watch the trailer for Iron Fist?
I watched the first trailer. I haven't watched anything since.
I think there's only been the one trailer.
Oh, then yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah. What'd you think about the costume?
I mean, all costumes look stupid. You know?
I mean, do you think it looks stupid?
I mean, it's not terrible. But, I mean, wouldn't have you looked at it if Wolverine would have showed up in a yellow outfit with blue or brown trim or black trim or whatever trim. In X-Men, you would have said, well, I mean, it's not terrible, but kind of looks stupid.
Well, he doesn't have the best costume to begin with. So, talking about Iron Fist.
Yeah.
So, I mean, as far as adaptations of the costume go, I think it looks all right. I kind of dig the mask. It's very Dread Pirate Roberts.
Yeah, I mean, they could have just went with the, they did not have to go with the green and, or whatever it is. I don't even remember what color it is.
In the show, it's white. In the comics, it's yellow. But yellow, there is a point in the comics where his costume changes, and I think he does have a white mask. So...
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, they didn't have to go with the yellow, so white's okay. I don't know,
would have been ridiculous. So.
It depends on how they work it in the story, too. I mean, you know, I like the Punisher stuff, but, you know, especially in the movie, him finding the shirt, the newest movie, before Warzone. The movie before Warzone.
Yeah.
What is it, a shirt that...
Something like that. Does he
give him
the
shirt? Or... Oh, wait, that's in the
laundry.
That's
in the dirty laundry thing.
Yeah. I forgot about that.
I think he spray paints it on a vest or something.
Damn. I was thinking about the dirty laundry thing. No, he gives it to a kid in the dirty laundry.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's all right.
Oh, did you?
I don't know anybody saw it and said, "Oh my god!"
I really liked that Iron Fist trailer, but I really liked the Iron Fist trailer because the first season is so damn bad that it would be hard to not have something better than that. So,
yeah, I mean, I didn't hate the first season either, so. I would never watch it again, but I didn't hate it.
Yeah. Did you see the Game of Thrones footage?
No, I'm not. I'm probably not going to watch any of that.
Yeah. So you're just going to go in without watching any trailers or.
I'm going to do my best.
This is going to be interesting to see how long you can last without, like, actively seeking them out. Because you don't watch, like, commercials and you don't watch HBO, really. So, you know, now they're saying it's
going to be I watch commercials, but most of the commercials I see aren't advertisements for movies or...
Right.
It's all food advertisement or... You know, I watch the Food Network and ID Channel, so they always advertise their other networks. So I don't really see any movie previews or, you know, any kind of previews, really, unless I go look for them.
And, you know, now they're talking about late 2019, right?
I knew it was going to take a while. I knew it was supposed to come out sometime next year. I thought it was like February or March. But, whatever. I mean, I'm not going to get too upset about it either way. So, I'm just going to wait patiently.
What do you think about the Guardians of the Galaxy being put on an indefinite hold?
The stars, it's not like they're going to not be in any of the other Marvel stuff, maybe not past the next Avengers movie, but the cast or the crew, I'm sure they're also working on other Marvel stuff. So I guess I feel for the little people that won't have a job, but I don't care if they ever get that movie made or not.
Well, I was thinking about it. I mostly agree with you, which is weird because I don't have a lot of. But I don't hate them. I know we played it up like Logan hates Guardians of the Galaxy. I don't have a ton of love for either one of those films. I do really like those characters. So, yeah, I'm with you there. It sucks because we might not ever get to see the Adam Warlock thing come to fruition, but also doesn't mean it can't happen in another movie either. I guess we'll have to wait and see there. But I was thinking about this, and I don't think they're just gonna let it go. It's a really big franchise to push it by the wayside. So they're gonna have to bring
Well, I
in
mean, I'd
somebody.
rather him push it by the wayside than to piss all over it, so.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They're gonna wind up having to bring in somebody. So who do they bring in? Is there anybody?
Did I want? No. I don't care if they ever make it or not.
But is there anybody you'd be
I
okay
hope they
with
don't.
other than
Not,
James
I mean,
Gunn?
not off the top of my head.
See, I was thinking about this. I think we'll probably mispronounce his name. I think if they brought in Taika Waititi, who did Thor Ragnarok, think that would be okay.
I mean, I'm not gonna say I wouldn't see it, but I'm just really ticked about the whole situation, so.
You and what's his name? Dave Bautista, man. He will like every time somebody puts a microphone in his face or asks him about it, he's there to slam Disney. He is desperately trying to get out of his contract. So, and I mean,
Well,
I
I
don't
mean,
know that I blame him. So.
it's kind of like those people that don't eat at Chick-fil-A. Do you blame them for not eating at Chick-fil-A?
No.
For the reasons they boycott Chick-fil-A.
No.
You can't really blame them.
On the flip side of that,
Chick-fil-A's delicious.
and there is not a fast food place you can go to that I've ever been
With
to
better service?
with better
No.
service than Chick-fil-A. I mean, they might hate everything about it, the way I feel about politics and religion and whatever, but they smile at me, they tell me thank you, they never screw up my order. They're always asking me if I need something. It's not like, oh, I forgot to ask for extra sauce or condiments. Or when you get to the window, first of all, they ask you at the drive-through or at the order screen,
The
and
speaker.
yeah, unless somebody's standing outside taking your order, and then they will ask you too. And then when you get around to the window, the person at the window will ask you, did you need any extra condiments? Did you need any dipping sauces? Whether you ordered nuggets or not. Because they know that their sauces are delicious. So they're like, well, people put them on everything. So, it's service that is unparalleled at a fast food restaurant.
And you
And
can kind of turn around and look at Disney and say the same thing.
I mean, yeah, I guess so.
Without Disney, this MCU does not exist.
I think it does. I just don't think we get there as quick as we do.
No, I'm talking about what we currently have right now does not exist.
No, I think it
There's
still
no
would.
way that Marvel gets
I think it still
that many
would.
movies. I just
Not
don't.
in this amount
Not
of time.
without selling off something else like they did with the X-Men.
No, I would say not in this amount of time. Yes. It probably would have taken, instead of 10 years, it probably would have taken 15 or 16 years to get to this
Then we
point.
would have lost Captain America after Winter Soldier, and Guardians 2 would have been the last Guardians for a while.
I mean, but I do still think there's a
Thor 2
chance
would
they
have
get
just
there.
been coming out.
But yeah, anyway, I think Taika Waititi would be a decent choice, because I really think we're probably done with the Thor movies. So, I honestly think we're probably done with Chris Hemsworth as Thor after the next Avengers, along with Chris Evans. Maybe not Robert Downey Jr., but that's only because it takes far less for him to be Iron Man than it does for Chris Hemsworth and Chris Evans to be Thor in Captain America. So,
let's move on to Preacher.
That's a very, like, I'm done talking about this. So, all right, I guess I can say cue the music.
It's the time of the preacher. In the year of 01. Now the lesson is over. And the killing's begun.
And now I'm not in the mood to do it.
I'm sorry, I'm going to bring you down.
No, I just don't. I mean, like I said, I'm not happy about the whole situation. But
and we really haven't even talked about it since it happened, I don't think. So, not on this podcast, anyway. Like, we talked about it when it happened, but anyway. All right, so Preacher, season finale, season 3, episode 10. Something about the light. I had it pulled up here.
And follow the light.
No, the light above.
Yeah, so, I know it's not follow the light.
It could have just been called Everybody versus Everybody Else, because that's all this episode is. Like, from beginning to end, it's just like, oh, it's this person versus this person. Oh, now it's this person versus this person. These people versus these people. And all of it is fantastic. It has everything that makes this show so damn good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the only thing it was missing was the three main characters reuniting at the end. But now we have the drive. So, you know, like they're going to find Cassidy. But it opens with one of, this might be my favorite opening of the show so far. I like the young Jesse stuff, and it's fine with him getting into an argument with his grandma, but it's the transition into the actual opening.
That yeah, it was so great.
Freaking good, man.
Yeah, I like the young Jesse stuff for the most part. I've liked all of it. So, the opening to me was fantastic.
The one question I have, though.
Young walking past old and just... Yeah.
Should have killed her.
You should have killed her when you had the chance.
What does he say? No, he said you should... really should have killed her then, or something like that. And he's like, well, now's your chance.
Yeah.
So, yeah, him... And the way they, like, blend the black and white with the color...
Like, yeah, I thought it was great.
It's so freaking good. Because, you know, young Jesse goes to try to kill his grandmother with a baseball bat and cannot do it. But the one thing that left me scratching my head in that scene is, why is the devil sitting in the kitchen with him?
Did you see God sitting in his room?
Now, how did I miss that?
When he was praying at the beginning.
Really?
And he walked out and left the baseball bat on the ground?
Yeah.
When he walked out the door, God was sitting there.
How did I miss that?
So, the devil was sitting there at the table, and I assume that's because of what his grandmother said. Do just enough good. That's God and the devil going... light or dark, you know, like seeing biding their time to see which way he's going to fall.
So
because he obviously means something.
Yeah, he's fated to be this person. So, which is why, like, they didn't ever really resolve it, but that's why the grandmother knows about Genesis. Because of all that. That's why Jesse was so important to her.
Yeah, I kind of accepted that whenever she started talking to the devil. Like, okay, she knows more about, you know, God and the devil than she's let on, which means she knows about Genesis, which means she knows more than, you know, we do.
Right.
Whereas before you thought she was just like us, like, okay, only she didn't even know that he ever had Genesis.
Right. But yeah, it's such a good opening. I don't know how I missed God sitting there. I actually just booted it up on my Kindle, so I can try to catch that while we're talking. So yeah, Jesse walks past the young version of himself, and you know, then we get into the show proper, which opens with Jesse versus TC, you know, and I really thought
that was kind of disappointing almost.
Yeah, but
at the same time, it wasn't, because you don't want to see him just flat out shoot TC in the head. That would have been messed up.
Yeah.
Because TC was kind of this lovable goofball. So
who was on the wrong side of everything. So
I mean, he was just doing what he was told most of the time. So
okay, yeah, I do see God. I don't know how I missed that.
Not sure how you missed that either.
I mean, it's not even like, oh, he's in the corner.
No, he's sitting like right there.
Maybe it's one of those where I like look down to take my notes when it happened. So, yeah. And I just, because he was walking towards the door, I was like, oh, he's going to do whatever. So, but anyway.
Well, without the devil sitting there, that doesn't matter at all. But when you see the devil, yeah, I can see how you're like, what?
Yeah.
But, I mean, wouldn't you assume it's what I said? Him and
yeah, God, very much of like time. One on one shoulder, one on the other. So, you know, and making sure, or trying to make sure things play out for their side, trying to influence him without really coming out and influencing him. So, but yeah, Jesse versus TC, I like that at the start, it goes down the way it goes down, because you really feel bad for TC and all this, because he doesn't fit in anywhere. And yeah, that's because he's depraved and demented, but he doesn't ever necessarily mean ill, but these are the people he fit in with, and they're the ones that accepted him. So
now he's just doing what he's told.
Yeah, you know, to stay among the people that exist.
Yeah, he's got
to
pay his dues.
So yeah, he does the whole, you know, yeah, I'm not going to shoot you, and hands him the gun back, and he's like, shoot yourself. And then he just shoots himself in the foot. So, you know, which adds almost even more to the, like, well, he is a really crummy person, but he's such a lovable character. This show has been really, really good in making you love characters that you really shouldn't love.
I mean, I don't even know how it's on the air, but you would think people were standing outside AMC protesting.
Man. So then,
like, the Den of Geek, whoever writes for that column about Preacher.
Yeah.
He talked about The Last Temptation of Christ, and
yeah, that movie. Although,
yeah.
Think about Dogma. Like,
well, his exact words were, what was it? Preacher eats sacrilege for lunch.
Yeah.
Something like that. For breakfast.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. I mean, it is like, if you follow that line of thinking, it is repeatedly sacrilegious. And does everything it can to kind of, you know, spit in the face of religion, I guess.
Especially Catholicism.
Yeah. So.
Although I did think about him with this, I must have a messiah. Like all the different gods that people worship. Like, it made me kind of giggle. Like, so is that just Star looking for a messiah? Just like Star's the people.
Yeah.
So they just need a messiah. But anyways, that's a whole different topic of discussion. Let's move on with the episode. I don't want to go down that road. Where were you at? I forget. TC.
Yeah. From there he goes to Jody, and you know, Jody's like, he said, I could tell you to.
Well, he goes to kill Grandma, but
yeah.
But Jody stops him.
Got to get through me. He's like, I could tell you to slit your own throat or whatever. He's like, yeah, but you won't. He's like, you're right. Let's go to the tombs. And, you know, that it's
and very I was, man, I was disappointed that it takes us a long time to get back to the tombs.
Yeah, it does. Because then we go to, but the scenes that we get to see between, well, some of the cast stuff is a little meh, but the breakdown.
The cast stuff was probably some of my favorite in the episode.
Really?
Yeah.
We didn't get to see enough. I mean, I don't want it to be gory. I like that it just hints at stuff, but it's very just like, okay. I knew where it was going. I knew where all of it was going.
Yeah, I didn't know, so.
But the choreography of, like, Tulip wakes up in that bus, and it's the Nazis versus, Hell's Angels, basically, right? It's the same killers and the Angel of Death.
I don't know why it made me think about Heat, but it made me think about Heat.
I mean, yeah.
You know, the gunfight and Heat.
You got the Nazis versus the two, like I said, Hell's Angels, basically. Eugene versus Hilter. Tulip versus the soldiers, you know. And then you've got the Saint of Killers. Well, I guess it kind of comes later. But the Saint of Killers versus the Angel of Death. And it's just...
Well, first it's the Saint of Killers and the Angel of Death versus...
Right.
That's
what I'm saying. That's why I was calling them the Hell's Angels. Because they're basically both just the Angels of Death. So, the way it's choreographed is, it's so freaking good.
I thought you were calling
good.
The Nazis the Hell's Angels.
No.
Why do you keep calling them the Hell's Angels?
No.
Like, Hell's Angels weren't Nazis.
I mean, they're not angels because they're demons, but... You know, it kind of works for
that. But Hell's Angels is a what you call it in the first place, right? Hell has no angels.
Yeah, yeah. It's an kind of oxymoronic statement.
Oxymoronic, yeah.
Yeah. But like all of that, it just works so well the way they film it. Like the bits and pieces of things you do see, the stuff you don't see. Tulip taking down that soldier, and then like. Looking at those other two,
she didn't just take him down. She took him down with a
wiper blade.
Yeah, a wiper blade from the bus.
You know, and then like getting the drop on those other two soldiers because
scene in the bus immediately made me think back to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and shake my head like, I don't know why I ever had a problem with her.
She's phenomenal, man. She's so freaking good.
I hated her when she showed up in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I was like, oh my God, I hate this chick.
Whatever. Yeah, her with the Luger. She's just like looking at the gun. She's like, a Luger.
A Luger. I thought that was great.
And then Helter and Eugene.
He said, like, what would Jesus do?
And he just punches him in the face. You know, freaking Angel of Death says something to the Saint of Killers about, you know, do you think the crows ate your daughter's eyes before or after she died? You know, like, how messed up is that?
I know. And then he immediately gets ran over by a tank.
Yeah.
Not just ran over, cut in half by a tank.
Yeah, and then apparently breathes fire. That was a little weird.
Yeah, that was new.
So, but I mean, it works for the scene, but was still like, yeah, that's kind of...
I don't know why he couldn't have just used his knife to scrape on the ground and create a spark.
Well, because he was... I thought the... Well, yeah, I guess. I don't know if that would have...
Well, before we get to that part, the dude in the tank fires a round directly at Tulip and the Angel of Death.
So, and God stops everything. So...
And tells Tulip...
It's God versus Tulip.
Yeah, I'll break the curse, and forever the O'Hares will be blessed, and this and that. And, of course, in true O'Hare fashion, that I think God knew she was going to do anyways, she screws it up.
Yeah, you know, I like that, though. She's like, you know what, I don't need your forgiveness. Like, you know, I'm okay, I'm good. And he's like... He says something. What does he say? You killed a man with a... I forget what it was. And she's like, yeah, but, you know, I think I'm okay. And then, so, of course...
Well, I mean, she starts by trying to tell him she had it all under control.
Yeah.
And so, like, he was like, no, you were going to die and go to hell.
Yep. I wish I could remember what he said. You killed a man with something. Because it struck me as really funny. But yeah, you know, she basically just tells God to piss off, and, you know.
It was a corn cob.
Yeah.
He killed a man with a corn cob.
Oh. So yeah, and he tries to, like, manipulate her by saying, you know, Cass is in real danger, and I was going to help him, but if you're not going to help me, I'm not going to go help him, which is not very godlike. So, you know. It's God helps those that help themselves, not God helps those who help him. we didn't even talk about that Angel of Death, her whip. Her whip was freaking awesome. So.
Yeah, we don't get to see, like, her, like, use it. But, yeah, it is cool.
Yeah. I mean, we get to see enough. So.
But yeah. I think it did good. So, without overexposing it and making it look bad.
What do you think was up with the girl that walks up to God? Like, when he's like, because Tulip walks away, and then this girl just walks up to him.
Well, you see her sitting on the bike whenever he freezes the...
Yeah, well, I mean, she's been with him, but, like, what is up with her? Like, I didn't really get that.
I don't know. I just... figured maybe that's his voice of reason. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. We'll find out.
Yeah,
I didn't put too much thought into it because, like, every dude on a bike needs a chick, right?
So. Yeah, I guess so. And then that's when they unpause everything. That's when we get the Saint of Killers kind of versus the Angel of Death. And basically, he just walks up to her and takes her eyes out of her head.
Yeah, which... well, at this point, the tank's dripping gas. So, like I said, why couldn't he just scraped his knife on the ground and created a spark?
Yeah.
To blow up the tank and then put himself back together and go after the Angel of Death to take her eyes out.
No, I mean, it works either way. So, you know, it is what it is. The important thing is that he takes her eyes out.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing was cool no matter what. I just, when he pulled the knife out, I was like, oh, he's going to make a spark and blow the tank up. And he did, like, the total complete opposite of that. He Superman flame breath on the knife and then blew up the tank.
Yeah, well, I guess it'd be, like, Bizarro flame breath, right? Because then he has freeze vision and flame
breath
or whatever. So, and then the Eugene, like when Tulip and Eugene try to run away, like what?
Eugene, I don't know. I was like, why are y'all running away? This didn't work the first time, Tulip. And then, and now you want to go back after Eugene, who's the reason you're there in the first place.
Yeah.
These boots suck. Like, that whole them trying to run away thing should have just been cut from the episode.
Yeah, it's very, like, they should have just been, like, they turn around and she's just standing there. Like, not even trying to run away.
Actually, that happens before she gets her eyes cut out, ain't it?
Yeah, it does. So, yeah, that's when he's still under the tank and, you know, heat breath in the knife or whatever. So, anyway, sorry, I should turn the episode off. I keep getting distracted. Saint of Killers takes her eyes and then decides to take Eugene back to Eugene and Hilter back to hell. So, you know, there's that. Meanwhile, Cass is at the vampire house, still staked to keep wanting to say poker table.
It's a pool table.
For whatever reason, I keep wanting to say poker table.
Well, it does also double as a poker table.
I mean, yeah, I guess so.
A very good one, because it's got the felt, as long as nobody messes it up.
Yeah.
So. By sitting their beers on it.
So, the vampire dude comes in, and he's like, yeah, betrayal's really rough when it's your friends.
Yeah, because they're all standing around looking mopey and stuff.
Yeah, but it's funny because he's talking about himself, but he doesn't understand that he's talking about himself. Yeah,
he doesn't know why they're mopey. Yeah. He thinks it's because of Cass.
So,
but he does convince Cass to, you know, see it his way with a unicorn pipe.
Yeah, which is so weird.
I know, I thought it was weird too, but I did love the him explaining that you put your drugs in the little hole here, and he's like, I know how to use a pipe.
and of course you kind of immediately get the, like, oh, this is all a setup. Like, the old, like, because it ended last week.
I didn't know it was a setup until he pulled her collar back and the old lady had bite marks on her neck.
Really?
Yeah, I was like, that's what he was doing last episode.
Yeah. So, well, he told her to call, you know, call the people that had left.
Yeah, I know.
So, but yeah, when he goes back upstairs and, you know, he's like, you know, Cass is, he's repented, like, blood feast or whatever they call it. Do we have any volunteers? And the old lady raises her hand. I was like, oh, this is going to be awesome.
I didn't really see any of that coming. I knew Cass would eventually convince them to turn on him, but I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, he turned her, and then she turned everybody else, and then they kill him. So, after they stake him back to the table.
I thought that was great.
Yeah. Meanwhile...
Goodbye, fake Tom Cruise.
Fake Tom Cruise. Meanwhile, in the tombs, Jesse versus TC, finally. I guess... What does he say? I guess today was the day. So...
Hey. What? I love when TC does the... You sons of, or what is
it? Sons of
motherless goat humpers.
Motherless goat humpers, yeah.
Yeah, he calls them motherless goat humpers. Yeah, that's what it is.
Because it makes me think of the line in Three and Me.
Son of a motherless goat. Every time he says it, it makes me think of it.
Because we heard Little Jesse say it. I think Little Jesse and Older Jesse say it earlier in the season. So.
Those are the only ones we've heard say it, I believe. Yeah.
Jesse versus Jody is a good fight.
It's very under...
But it's not...
What would you say? Like, under... I don't know. It was way below my expectations. I was like, oh my God, they're going to beat the crap out of each other.
I mean, he does hit him in the head with...
That was the coolest thing. I was like, oh my God, he just hit him in the head with a board of nails.
Yeah, it's, you know, and he just pulls it out of his head. Part of me, and then we also see him get up later after you're like, no, he's definitely dead now. So part of me was like, did Jody make a deal with the devil? What's going on?
When he stood up.
Yeah.
But all that was I'm proud of you. Now I'm going to die.
Yep.
And then poor TC says, I got nowhere to go. You might as well burn me up in here.
Yeah, that's... It's so sad, man. Like, to...
Not only that, TC went and got the gas.
Well, he told him
to burn the place down.
He was
compelled. I know, but it's still sad.
Yeah. He's like, you know, I know Angelville is terrible, but I've got nowhere else to go. So I'm not going to go.
And for a second there, I was like, yes, TC's going to go with Jesse.
Yeah. He gets to be the captain that goes down with the ship, man. He gets to make that choice.
I guess that's a good thing about it, is he made his choice and he's going down with the ship.
Yeah.
And then we see Jesse leave to go after Grandma.
Well, first we get the text messages, which was a little weird.
It was some, I think,
it's my much least needed, favorite part of the episode.
Yeah, it was funny. A much needed laugh in the episode, though, because everything was very, I don't want to say dark, but it was a lot of action, a lot of killing, some comedy in there with the Hilter asking,
what would Jesus do?
What would Jesus do? which is a great line in and of itself, because you've got Hitler, the person who killed a whole bunch of people, asking, what would Jesus do?
Yeah. Maybe not
but yeah, kill the, all well, of then we the go Jews. To hell, right? From there we go to hell because we got the Saint of Killers and...
No, no, after the text message, it's Jesse walking up to Grandma, and he's going to... He tells you, you know, like, say my debt is paid, release Tulip, and, you know, I'm going to strap you into that machine and all that other stuff. The Tulip or the devil stuff doesn't come until later towards, a little bit more towards the end, because you get the cast stuff before you get going back to hell, so... It's that he walks up to the house and, you know, you find out that she struck a new deal with the devil, which I had to work it out in my head, because at first I was like, how did she bargain for Jesse? Like, with Jesse, that doesn't make any sense. I was like, oh wait, at the time she owned his soul.
Right.
So she could bargain with it. So, while he's released from her deal, or her debt, she owned his soul, so now that piece of paper binds him to hell, because he killed her. So, he kind of makes this resolution that, like, well, I don't want to go to hell, which is a callback to what she tells him earlier when we see him as a kid. And she's like, you know, always afraid of burning. That's why you won't do what it takes. You know, because you're afraid of going too far and being a terrible person that you can't come back from that.
You do just enough good to make up for the bad, I guess.
So, and he doesn't want to go to hell, so he's like, well, I can't kill her. And even though his debt's paid, Tulip's released, and he's like, yeah, but I can make sure that, you know, you don't last. Yeah. And makes her destroy
the soul.
Which is so good, man.
And it is, but it makes a waste for them to go after him. But I understand the progression of the
All that's just buying time, because that's all Jesse was doing, was buying time for him to get the voice of God back. So, yeah, he makes her throw those souls into the fire, and she's just, like, crying the whole time. And then he gets in the truck and leaves, like, drives to the end of the street and is sitting in that pickup. And then he says, she's right. I got what I wanted. And, I won. And then you see the camera, like, pan to the side, and young Jesse is sitting in the truck with him. And he says, like, doesn't feel like you won. He goes, yeah, you're right. And I mean, immediately cut back to him back in the house, strapping grandma to the machine, pulling her wig off, and just turning it on.
I loved it. He pulled her wig off. Like, yep. Nope, you're going to die in all your shame.
Yep. So, and I mean, she does. She dies hooked to the machine, and he burns the house down. So, Angelville is no more. I thought it was a really good resolution.
To Angelville? So yeah, did I.
To the storyline. Like, it is, like, you can't go back to that, you know? So, and then from there, that's when we get Cass with, you know, them having killed the vampire, and they're like, now what? He's like, they're already bored.
Yeah, that's when, Hoover what's comes his name? Back. Yeah, Hoover yeah. shows back up. What? He's on the phone with
Tulip. Yeah, Tulip, she calls about and she's to like, cry. Are you okay? Is everything all right? Are you in danger? And, you know,
when she hears his name, though, Hoover's name, she knows that she needs to hurry.
Yeah. He's like, no, it's all right. He's cool. So, and Hoover, you know, it's like, I got you a present. You saved my life. And, hey, look, it's an umbrella. He's like, yeah, you should open it. And he's like, but Cass is like, not indoors. That's bad luck. He's like, not today. It's not. Well, actually, I skipped over maybe the funniest line when Hoover first comes back. He says, you know, hey, you want to come? I was about to get high and listen to some Nickelback.
It is funny because he thinks that The Big Lebowski is it's a terrible movie. But he wants to listen to Nickelback.
And, of course, Hoover is setting him up with the Grail because they're going to use him to get to Jesse and, well, not too
much. That's what the umbrella is for. Because I was wondering how they were going to kill off all those vampires.
By ripping the house off of the foundation. How did they hook all that up without anybody hearing it?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it was still pretty good. So it was a good, like, we get to see the chaos surrounding it and never have to, like, full-on see it. So they kind of get to save a little bit of money. But the way they filmed it, I thought, was really well done. So it's like it was almost like those raids you see in, like, military movies, when they're just, like, going in with the night vision goggles and you can only barely see things. It reminded me of that. So, Hoover set him up, you know. They shoot him with that tranquilizer. He's like, you know, I eat elephant tranquilizers for breakfast. He goes, yeah, I told him. That's a well tranquilizer. I was like, man, he's going to pass out and then just burst into flames. And
that's what I thought, too.
And then we see all those humper dudes walking around the city. That was really funny.
Yeah, in the distance, you see them dropping
the house into the river or whatever. Yeah, it was a pretty good, like, turn. Because you're like, where are they going with all this? I mean, I knew where they were going because like I've said, it doesn't religiously, pardon the pun, follow the book, but enough of the pieces are there that I'm like, okay, well, Cass is going to eventually get taken by the Grail, because that's kind of where this is going, and yeah, that's what happens. So yeah, I did like the added, I hope all of next season, occasionally we just see a humper dude walking around in the background.
I think that would be great. I don't think it's over with Humper Doo, but
we'll see. I mean, how are you going to find the right one?
That's a good question.
No, Star's got something else up his sleeve.
Yeah, which is completely weird, but...
Oh, okay, so... Tulip makes it to the house. Two of the vampires are left, and they're
The two best. It's Grandma and her grandson.
Yeah, you know. They're like,
I love thinking about Granny and grandson living at home, eating dead squirrels, and, you know...
Yeah.
Buying fresh pigs or something.
Starting their own little vampire cult.
Yeah, it just made me laugh. Like, vampire house.
What do they call themselves? What are we going to do now that we're...
Night race.
Yeah, he's like, oh, what the hell? You're vampires. Just call yourself vampires.
Or race of the night or something like that. Yeah. I don't remember what it was.
Yeah, they tell Tulip, you know... Some dudes in white came and got him, and it was a guy and a woman, and
she's like, God.
Yeah, should have listened to
him. Well, that made me immediately think that, well, he knew she was going to screw it up and not take his whatever, and this would all happen. He knew that was going to happen, so part of his plan.
Maybe, you know, and that's when we get Eugene in hell. He's like, I finally know what I'm here for. It's to tell you that it's okay. You can
ask for forgiveness.
God and ask for forgiveness. You used to be best friends. And the devil's like, huh, I think I figured out what I'm here for too. And just smacks the hell out of him.
But this is where we get the return of the Saint of Killers.
Yeah, the out and out return. And it's so worth,
like, it makes you laugh that the devil gave him all his weapons back.
I mean, it's the hubris of the devil, right?
Oh, here, you can have these back.
Yeah, I mean, I told you I'd give you your guns and your sword back, so here you go. And then the angel of death rolls him in there on that cart, and he's like, I don't know what happened there, but I'm just going to assume she deserved it.
Yeah, she hits him with the cart because she can't see.
But yeah, you know, the devil asks, you know, while he's arming himself, he's like, what's this preacher's name you're going after? He's like, Jesse Custer. It's like, oh my God, I love the synergy. I just made a deal involving Jesse Custer. Once his soul comes to hell, that little power of his is going to be mine. And so... Saint of Killers takes out the freaking devil.
Yeah, you know? It was pretty awesome.
I mean, it's not much of a showdown because it's a dude with, like, you know, holy weapons versus the most unholy person that's ever existed.
That's why it makes me laugh that he gave him his weapons back. Like,
yeah,
what are you, stupid?
I wish it would have happened quicker, if that makes sense. Like, the minute he pulled the guns, like...
Yeah, it was no talking, bang. No nothing, just...
Yep. So, but it's because the Saint of Killers asked him, like, was that your idea?
He's like, well, I was in on the meeting.
Yeah. You know, he's like, whose idea was it? He's like, well, it was God's. So, now the Saint of Killers has a vendetta against God.
I wonder who could stop that.
Even better, the Saint of Killers tells Eugene, you're right, you don't deserve to be here, so let's go. And Hilter is just like, oh, okay, yeah, you're right. And he's like, nope, not you.
because he knows the rules. He kind of restored the order there and took Eugene, who was not supposed to be there.
Except he took out the guy that's supposed to rule hell and replaced him with Hitler.
Well, I mean, inadvertently. You know, it's like six of one, half a dozen of the other.
I mean, you're not wrong there. So, you know, I love that
at least Hitler wasn't smited by God. Yeah. So
Immediately, he's just like, oh, wait, this desk is open. I'm just going to sit right here. But see, now Hitler has the Jesse contract. So.
Yeah, that does make that interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens there. And Eugene, having heard Jesse's name, see, he thought Jesse was dead because he saw the town. He assumed almost everybody in the town was dead. That's why he got all excited when he saw Tulip.
Now he knows that Jesse left him there.
Yep, supposedly. He's like, the guy that sent me to hell, the guy that left me in hell, is still alive. I'm coming with you. And so now the Santa Killers has a sidekick named Arseface. So I do like that they don't call him that. They just keep calling him Eugene. So, and then that's when we get the really good, like, it's a very slowed down moment of the show. Tulip pulling up in the car, and she's like, you all right? And he's like, what is he like? Family's overrated. He's like, you ready? Yeah, let's go. And it's kind of their drive off into the semi-sunset, go find Cass, who we see is
in a well of some sort?
Down in a hole.
With an angel strapped above him?
Yep, angel held captive. Why the hell do they have an angel held captive? In Masada, Israel. So, which, okay, if you go back to the scene in hell, there's a painting in the devil's office. It kind of looks like Masada, like the whatever they're on, like the mountain thing that they're on. It looks like that. So I don't know if it's supposed to be, but it really looks like it. So I don't know if they're trying to tell us something there.
When we, after we see Cass, we go to Star talking to...
That's the best. We're talking to Hoover.
Yeah.
And
Hoover's
like,
I'm a vampire. Yeah.
He's like, are you mocking me with the hat?
You mocking me with the hat? He's like, I'm a vampire, sir. I thought you were kidding.
And he gives him, I promise you it's not going to change anything. And he just knocks the umbrella off his head. And bye-bye, Hoover. Although,
That's kind of sad.
Part of me hopes that somehow, like, Featherstone, like, drags him in after Star walks away.
But she doesn't.
Well, I'm saying, like, he's still writhing in pain, like, burning, while they're standing there. Like, maybe Star walks away and she's just, like, fine and, like, pulls him in.
You know? Maybe.
So, we'll see. But, yeah, Star's like, I'm going to kill Jesse. I'm tired of playing chess. Time to play some effing checkers.
Yeah, and that was good.
The camera pans back and you see he's got this like massive army at his disposal.
And then you see armed helicopters and jets and like, what?
So the final collection in the Preacher saga of comics is titled The Alamo.
That's cool.
And I very much feel like we're headed towards the Alamo here.
Well, at least we get one more.
Yeah, it hasn't officially been renewed, but I don't think there's any way they're not going to renew it, you know?
I mean, at this point, you got to let them finish the series.
So, there's a lot of stuff in the books that they just haven't gotten to. And I'm okay with that. You know, there's a lot of little things. There's a lot of storylines that got combined. Stuff fell by the wayside. But I'm honestly okay with all of that. The main focus is still there. The trinity of characters is still there. Their kind of like tumultuous relationship with each other is still there. You know, so it works. And if next season is the last season, I'm totally okay with it. So, but I will say this, there is enough leftover material that they could fill a whole season of 10 episodes with Cass in the hole and Jesse and Tulip trying to find him could be one season of a show. And then the final season could be all the crap that goes down.
Right.
Find him. Sorry, because he mentions another character, his master torturer that's coming in. So we'll get to meet that person next season.
That ought to be interesting.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I don't think you could have asked for a better season of a show. Like, we had our ups and downs with Legion this past season. I think even the episodes were like, it's still really good, though.
Yeah, each episode was better than the last, in my opinion. So.
Yeah, I'd probably agree with that. Speaking of Legion, that's probably what we're going to be talking about next week. I know it's like, y'all just got done talking about Legion like 2 months ago. Or 3 months ago at this point, almost. But Jess in Atlanta is going to be in Atlanta, surprise, next weekend. And she's going to
DragonCon
to be on a Legion panel. And oddly enough, I hope she doesn't mind me telling this, she had not watched any of Legion. And so has spent the last 2 weeks.
Couple of weeks, yeah.
Binge watching the whole show. So.
To the tune of, we got an email that said, holy crap.
Yeah.
Which, when she was about 5 episodes into season 2.
Yeah. So, at the very least, the next episode of this show is probably going to be her finally joining us a year after we started talking about it, maybe. And,
it ain't quite been a year. Close to it, though.
Yeah.
Legends of Tomorrow was on when we talked about it.
Yeah, that's right. Probably November would be like a year, I think. But yeah, she's at least she's going to join us at some point, and we're going to talk about her experience with Legion, watching all the episodes all at once, and hopefully have some audio from the panel that she's going to be on.
So, yeah, we'll see about the audio, but we will at least get to talk to her.
I did want to mention one more thing about Preacher. It feels kind of anticlimactic. They were like, and that's that. But, I mean, I don't know what else to say about the season other than it was phenomenal. Did you read Cass's t-shirt?
Yeah, about Nixon.
Nixon, now more than ever. What the hell, man? I mean, I feel like it's definitely an old t-shirt that he pulled out of, like, the grandmother's closet or something, you know. But it just, I don't know, it felt like a really weird statement. But yeah, it made me laugh. So
I have to say, the Den of Geek guy that I never know his name is David S.E. Zapanta. It's like Zapata with an A in the. So Zapanta?
Sure.
I know I've talked about the Den of Geek stuff before, and I never know who wrote the article. That's the guy who's doing the Preacher stuff.
Yeah. I don't think I've really. I think I read some whoever did Legion. It might have been the same guy. And whoever does Mr. Robot from Den of Geek. I don't think I've looked at any of the Preacher stuff.
Yeah. So. I don't know why Den of Geek is the one that I read, but the other ones that I've tried, I don't know. Most of the stuff on Den of Geek is kind of short and sweet. Not,
yeah, I do like that about them.
Yeah.
So.
And, you know, without reading it, I would have never got the, you know, Preacher Eats Sacrilege for Breakfast. Because that's pretty accurate.
Yeah. I would say so.
It says, eats sacrilege for breakfast with a healthy serving of blasphemy on the side.
Yeah, I like that.
That's, yeah, really a good show that lives to offend people. Or offend delicate sensibilities. There you go. Those are some pretty accurate statements about Preacher. And, I mean, knowing Seth Rogen through what he's done, I mean, he's just that kind of guy. So.
Yeah.
Like, so, whatever's going to get somebody talking about it, he's all for it. So.
We've talked about some shows to kind of do. We've talked about The Rewatch, which.
I wish that True Detective was coming back sooner.
We could do that. It's not coming back till like next year, right?
January, yeah.
So.
Super psyched for that.
I didn't watch season two.
You didn't miss anything.
But I'm super excited for it to come back.
Well, I mean, we're talking about two different things. It's an anthology series, pretty much. So, I mean, you're talking about two different topics.
Yeah, you're right.
Season two was more of a like a an urban warfare type thing where you have gangs and crooked cops and less about like weird Louisiana stuff.
Since weird we're watching Louisiana this show. Stuff. That's pretty good.
But you know what I'm talking about. Just witchcraft and just weird people to begin with. Not that everyone there is weird, but there's some weird people in Louisiana.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, we've, you know, talked about a variety of things. I mean, I'm interested in the rewatch thing, but I don't know. Also would like to, you know, do other TV shows.
Well, I mean, so. if the we've talked about the Fox show too.
Well, we talked about Fringe, which is not available anywhere. So, I mean, unless you buy it on DVD.
Yep, that's what I did. I bought it on DVD so we can watch it.
But I feel like we'd be talking about a show that nobody, that we can't like point people to.
Well, I'll just binge watch it and then we'll do one episode about Fringe.
I mean, but I need to rewatch it, dude. I haven't watched it in ages. I mean, years, a decade maybe. So.
Well, we'll binge watch it a season at a time.
So. How many episodes were there? Because it's on for like 5 years, man.
Yes, five seasons.
There's 100 episodes. I can't. I don't think I can.
Well, I said a season at a time.
Yeah, but I mean, it would take me a month to watch a season.
The first season is 20 episodes.
I just don't understand why it's not available anywhere.
Contracts.
Yeah, I guess so. And it looks like Sarah Connor is not available anywhere either. And you had briefly mentioned, because you were on this Terminator kick, about wanting to get into...
Oh, I'm still on the Terminator kick.
So...
I have not seen 3 or 4 or Sarah Connor Chronicles.
And Sarah Connor Chronicles is a phenomenal show. So.
Well, I plan on watching it here soon, actually.
Yeah, it is not on Netflix. It's not on Hulu. And it's not on Amazon Prime. What the hell, man? So, yeah, we're kind of at a loss, really. If anybody has any recommendations, you know, of shows coming out that you maybe think we would have fun talking about, I mean, I really don't know.
Well, we'll figure it out.
I thought maybe something would be like coming soon to Netflix, so. Also, briefly going back to the preacher, did you see one of those Nazis was wearing a Make America Great Again hat?
No, that's funny though.
Yeah, that was awesome. So, anyway, and we're gearing up for fall TV season 2, which starts probably starts in a couple of weeks. It usually starts, we start seeing things in September, right? So.
Yeah, everything should be, which most of it's not coming back till October, but.
I'm looking at upcoming Netflix originals. What is Mr. Sunshine? It's not going to be aired all at once. Oh, it's a like a Korean drama. So, oh, wait, no. Oh, yeah, it is. It's a Korean drama. Apparently, there was a show called Mr. Sunshine with Matthew Perry from a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Never heard of it. So, let's see. Sisters is a Netflix original. Ooh. It looks like they're putting the Lilo and Stitch series on Netflix. Or it could just be the movie. It says
Disney. I already have all of them.
No. It says Disney's Lilo and Stitch. Could be the movie. Let's see. Oh, Atypical season. Did you watch Atypical? It was so good, man.
No.
Yeah, I don't.
Unless I have to, I'm not adding any new shows to my.
Not even like a Netflix show?
Nope.
Well, what the hell, man? How are we going to talk about a show if you're not willing to?
I said unless I have to.
There's some show coming on called Life. I don't know what that could be.
We could watch Gods and Monsters and talk about it. I mean, Gods and...
It's not Gods and Monsters.
No, Misfits and Monsters. I always say Gods and Monsters.
How many episodes? It just ended its season, didn't it?
Yeah, it's only like 8 or 9 episodes.
I swear. I'm just going to watch it so you'll stop freaking saying something about it. I bring up stuff and you're just like, yeah, whatever. But then you bug the shit out of me to watch something.
Hey, I've watched some of the stuff you wanted me to watch.
You haven't watched BoJack Horseman?
Yeah, I watched like 6 episodes.
And then didn't go back to it.
No, I watch them every once in a while. I just watch like the 6th episode. I just don't get stuck on it because, I mean, it's not like a one after another type show. Each show has its own. Although I understand that it builds up to a bigger picture, but.
Yes, it absolutely does.
But it's not one of those, oh, I got to watch the next one type of shows.
It gets to the point where you're like, oh, God, I got to watch the next one. Yeah, I don't really see anything on Netflix. Oh well.
Tell me if we don't find anything, I'm gonna make you watch that show. Like, oh, Misfits and Monsters, it is.
We can start watching Man in the High Castle on Amazon.
No, I'm not watching. No.
Why?
No. I'm watching Game of Thrones right now. When that's over, I'll watch something else that's medieval. I'm not watching Vikings or Man in the High Castle, or which I know that's not medieval or whatever, but it is like a different universe type thing. Because isn't it like, what if Nazi Germany would have...
Yeah, what if the Nazis won the war?
Yeah. So yeah, I know it's not medieval, but...
I kind of did want to see that Hand of God TV show, too. I never look at Amazon's original stuff. Oh, Jack Ryan starts this week.
Oh, yeah. Before it... Well, it might be after it starts, but I will be watching all the Jack Ryan movies this week.
I swear. Homecoming starts in November. That's the Sam Esmail show. So we have to do something to fill the time until we get to that show. That's the one with Julia Roberts?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a 30-minute show. That's It's going to be the shortest show we ever talked about. So, I don't know how many episodes are going to be, though.
I saw Misfits and Monsters. This is 30 minutes. And it's a fast 30 minutes, too. Like, when the show's over, you're like, well, it's 30, it's a 30-minute show with commercials, and there is about a three-minute-long segment at the end of each episode with Bobcat and someone else usually talking about how they made the episode or what inspired the episode or this or that, which adds a little bit to the show because, I mean, the only thing I ever saw him do before I watched this show was Police Academy and Shakes the Clown.
You know what we should do? We should let Casey pick a show.
It's school time, and that's probably not going to work out.
No. I wasn't thinking about it being school.
Because she gets home from school, and between eating homework and doing things she needs to do.
What are you doing on Friday night?
We already got a pretty much packed weekend trying to figure out when everybody can get together. And then that puts her not being able to do anything on the weekend, which is school time. That's the only time she can do anything.
Yeah, I guess so.
So it'll turn into, well, we can't record this weekend because Casey's spending the night off. And then it'll turn into us not doing a show. So.
Yeah. You know they're doing Bonfire of the Vanities as a TV show?
No, I'm less interested in that than I am in Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Supposedly they were developing Galaxy Quest as a TV series?
I mean, that would have been fun. And get Putty in there to play Tim Allen's role.
He's perfect, man.
Isn't he, though?
Yeah.
Patrick Warburton, for anybody that doesn't know who Putty is.
This is... They acquired American Gods?
Who did?
Amazon? Oh, in other countries. In the U.S. I was like, what the hell? That's news. So we just got to find something to get us to November. So, September and... that's 2 months. I guess we could start a rewatch of, like, season one of Mr. Robot and see how it goes. And then take a break, and then maybe do season two.
We could do two episodes at a time, and it'll fly by.
Well, hell, we could probably get through two seasons in 2 months. Because the first season's... Is it, how many episodes was season one? Is it 13?
Oh, I hate to break up the party, but I need to go.
Okay.
It's 10:30, and Casey's probably not even in the bed.
All right. Well, I guess we'll see everybody next week or soon, talking to Jess in Atlanta. I don't know when it's all going to go down. So.
Yeah, it's probably going to depend mostly on her schedule. Yep. So.
Because we have nothing to do now until November.
Yeah, and we don't want to force her into a, I got to do this because, you know, I'd rather it be more just relaxed and. Yeah. Something somebody wants to do and not something somebody got forced into doing.
Yeah, for real. So, anyway, all right. So, I guess we'll see everybody soon.
Next week will be good.
Maybe.
Bye, everybody. Here's a little ghost for the offering. Yeah, 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 yeah. Here's a truck stop instead of St. Peter's. Yeah, 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 yeah. Mr. Andy Kaufman's gone wrestling. Yeah, 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 yeah. Now, Andy, did you hear about this one?